Just a brief note while this is loading. So Susan and I don't know each other. We're just meeting now, and these conferences are pretty huge, 12,000 people. But every once in a while, I think they get these breakout sessions just about perfect, and I think Susan and the rest of you will understand exactly what I'm talking about in just a few minutes. So just a little bit about me. I'm a research fellow in the Texas Medical Center. We left the cowboy hats at home just to fit in a little better. And our project is called Inspire to Play, Promoting Lung Assessment in Youth. And it's about developing a program that helps children better self-manage their asthma. Here's the fancy presenter disclosure that we all agreed to. There are no financial disclosures, but there was some off-label use of the Pico 6 portable spirometer. We essentially used it for instructional demonstration with some children. And then once again, there's no financial disclosures, but we did work with the nonprofit institution, Texas Children's Hospital. Today what I'd like to do is kind of introduce you to play and then go through some of the early research that we did, the development of the program Inspire, our pilot study, and lastly look forward into where we want to go from here. So clearly and simply, self-management is the name of our game. I'm sure everyone here recognizes how large of a problem asthma is when it comes to children. It's the most common chronic illness. On average, 1 out of 10 children has asthma, but as we saw from previous presenters, urban minority youth are at a much higher rate. And cost-wise, we're looking at over $20 billion being spent per year on a chronic illness. That's a recurring cost that we know is going to be there next year. And what we're trying to do is work on the self-management aspect. We want children to feel like they can actually play an active role. And what we mean by self-management is looking at the tools and interventions by which patients can take care of their chronic illness and help healthcare providers do just that. Two major methods of this are asthma care plans, as well as prescribed regimens from pulmonologists and clinicians. The problem is the adherence rate to these prescribed regimens and asthma care plans hovers around 50%, and it has so for almost 2 decades now. So what we wanted to do was increase self-management and increase the adherence to these prescribed regimens, such as things like looking at lung health, monitoring your lungs and how they're doing. But there is one problem with that, and that's the fact that kids don't like that. And there is a reason for that. It's a chore. We've made it into a chore. It's not an enjoyable aspect of their lives. Because it's serious and because we tell them it's important to take care of their health, we have fairly boring and uninspiring things for them to do. These include these daily logs where they're supposed to blow into a peak flow meter and then record on pen and paper those numbers and turn that into a pediatric pulmonologist at the end of the month. And then we have these educational booklets that are dry and talk about things that kids aren't very comfortable or used to. So we need to do something about that. And this is kind of just the cycle of how we believe we can improve self-management. We want to make self-management more convenient, fitting into the way kids live their lives today, as well as their parents. We also want to make it more enjoyable. We want to look at the things that children enjoy and find satisfaction in. And lastly, we want to make it valuable. We want it to fit within the paradigm of what they value and what they find meaningful. And we believe that this is cyclical, that all of these things feed off of one another. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the early research that we've done. So, what's known? First, I kind of want to talk about lung function measurement devices. There's two major devices. Those are peak flows and spirometers. Peak flow is much more common. Essentially, it's just a tube with a pith ball in it, and a kid will take a deep breath and blow out, and the pith ball will reach a certain number, and that tells you the peak expiratory volume. At any one moment, how much air was coming out of that child's lungs. In relation to that, spirometers are actually electronic devices that record the entire progression. So a child is supposed to blow out all of the air from his lungs. And right here we have two spirometry loops. So if you look at it, this is the expiration, so this is the volume coming out of their lungs over time. And we can see that as they blow out, they reach their peak expiratory volume, which is this point right here, and they keep blowing out and they're running out of air until they finally, at some point in time, have nothing else to get out. Now, as you can see, a peak flow meter just gives you this single point. A spirometer is giving you a lot more. And what's valuable about that is pulmonologists have found that this is giving you significantly more data and it's more valuable. Peak flows have both type 1 and type 2 errors. There's no form of quality control, so a child can be not trying their hardest to get all of the air out of their lungs, and that may show up as a serious problem. And on the other side, you're not quite certain what's going on outside of just that peak expiratory volume. How did they get to that point, and are there other issues? So overall, spirometry is a much more robust instrument to use. And it's also been accepted that large changes in this flow loop, so we can see here this larger flow loop is a normal, if you will, one, and then this smaller one right here has obstructive patterns to it where you can see it's not a clean linear line going down, but more of a hockey stick. And that is accepted to be signs of airway obstruction, and some go so far as to say this could be an early sign of an impeding asthma attack. Now, I also want to tell you guys about this game called Remission, which was created by Hope Labs in California. Remission is a first-person shooter, which means you play a character where you're shooting things on the computer, and it's a game all about cancer. You play a nanobot, which is actually part of a medical regimen for children who have cancer, and you play within the body, and your weapons are chemotherapy agents, and you fight off cancer, and you kill these cancer cells. And this was a multi-million dollar budget game, and it was made with very high production values. And after they made the game, they actually did a pediatric study. And what they found was by playing this game for a few hours a week over multiple weeks, children who were actually undergoing chemotherapy who had cancer not only had better knowledge about cancer, they had greater self-efficacy and even increased adherence to taking their chemotherapy agents on time and correctly. This was published in Pediatrics, one of the highest impact journals they could have aimed for. And this kind of really sets the stage of seeing a gold standard when we're talking about games and the impact they can have. And what I believe they did here is they spoke to kids in their language. They found an engaging environment, an interesting way to talk about chronic illness and disease. And because of it, kids responded in fantastic ways. So there are some serious issues to making sure that these prescribed regimens are actually followed. On the parent side, parents tend to forget the prescribed regimens. A study by Modi found that over 50% of parents cited actually forgetting the prescribed regimens as a central reason for the challenges that they faced in continuing this. And on top of that, kids are busy. Kids have very active lives. They're moving all around. And over 50% of families cited scheduling problems as one of the reasons that people weren't prescribing to and adhering to these regimens from their pulmonologists. So once again, we see that these are some of the problems, but it also gives us kind of a solution. We want to remind families what to do and make it easier for them to do it, and coming in with a model of convenience. So what can we add? We can create an application that's actually going to monitor the lung health of children over time. We can make an interface that's actually going to be fun and rewarding and give them the things that they're interested in having. And lastly, we can make it convenient by aiming for the mobile platform. So many children today either have things like iPod touches or smartphones. It's an integral part of their lives, and it's something they take with them almost everywhere. Try separating a kid from one of those things, you'll see how much damage you'll be in. And if we did all of those things and put it together, we might have something that kind of looks like this. And with that being said, I want to take you through a tour of some of the features of Inspire. This is actually a handout from our website that is available to you. If you signed up for this session, it's under handouts. It just kind of has some of the information from the website. So this is just an info page for both youth and parents. Our website is theabramsoncenter.org. And you just go under programs and you'll see Inspire. And this is the features page, and I want to take you through some of the features we created. The first one is creating an avatar for the kids. So the kids can go in and edit all they want and kind of make their own avatar that's supposed to be an integrated part of the entire application. They also have a personal friend that we've named Spyro. If any of you have played Wii Fit, there's the Wii board who kind of talks you through things, tells you about things. Spyro is supposed to be an interactive friend who tells kids more about asthma, and it's just a friendly face within the game that they can consistently see. One of the interesting things we've done is try to incentivize the system. So we've created an account credit reward system. So for kids and parents, what they can do is parents can agree to pay something like 10 or 20 cents every time a child does a proper spirometry maneuver, and that money will be added to an account. That account can be used for things like games, or if they have an Apple iPhone or iPod Touch, they can use that money through iTunes to buy things in the App Store that they might be interested in. Kind of working within the system that kids are very used to. Kids love to be able to personalize and develop their phone because it kind of acts as a central part of their life. So a microchore system is an interesting way of doing that. But we want to make the spirometry maneuvers fun, and this is kind of the central area of what we're trying to do. Spirometry used to be big and bulky, but there are portable spirometers now. And what we've wanted to do is take one of these portable spirometers, and you could imagine it connecting to a phone either as a case or as a standalone item, and these kids can play mini games that are built into this application suite. And these are games that they're really comfortable playing and are interesting, and they can earn high scores. And we have 8 of them currently. And the idea is spirometry would come in at a specific time. So in this game, you're a spaceship, every once in a while, you're flying through space and you have a row of items. And these items are black holes, which make you slow down. And if you slow down too much, you're stuck in space and you lose the game. But if you catch the boost, you go faster and faster and the game gets more sporadic and goes crazy. So one of the things you could do is if a kid is playing, trying to get his high score, and he hits too many of these, and he knows he's going to lose, you could have a screen that flashes and says, activate your emergency boost pack. And the way they do that is by doing a proper spirometry maneuver. So it's integrated in the game in a way where they get the opportunity to continue playing by doing a spirometry maneuver and do something fun. No daily logs. Making it fun. That's the whole point behind this. Making it seem like it's easy to take care of yourself and have a good time doing it. We also have bonus quizzes. These kind of look at the locus of control. Do children believe that asthma is something they control and have an active part of, or is it something that just happens to them? We also have this lung score system, so kids on some more simplified level can get an idea of how their lungs are doing over time, compiling these spirometry maneuvers and trying to create a simplified way for children to look at it to kind of better understand what's going on with their own health. And lastly, we've talked about asthma triggers a lot today. Two major asthma triggers are pollen concentration and ozone levels. They're very sporadic, but the National Weather Association every day puts out your levels depending on your zip code. So if someone had a phone, they could open this up, it would immediately find their location, and then bring in the levels of pollen and ozone. So a child could look at this before soccer practice and decide how dangerous or how careful they needed to be during practice because of the pollen concentrations and ozone levels. It's bringing information to them that they need to know and helping them make the right decisions instead of telling them what to do. So those are kind of the different features that we have implemented that I wanted to show you. And now we can go back to the presentation. There we go. So now I'm going to tell you very briefly about a pilot study we conducted. We worked with Texas Children's. They had a back-to-school health fair. There was over 6,000 parents and kids in attendance. And we had over 200 kids play Inspire coming by our booth and trying things out. But we were specifically looking for parents and children willing to do an IRB study, and the children had to have asthma. So our final N was a teeny weeny 9. But it gave us an idea of what kids thought about this. This is also my favorite picture. I always love to present this picture. Our booth is behind all of these people, but you can't even see us. And we were one of the most popular booths there. And I like to think that part of the reason is because kids flocked to this idea that in an environment all about health that was very stuffy and boring, we were showing them something very fun and interactive. And the way I see it is, if we could do this more often on many more levels, we could have some really fascinating things happen in the future. Anyways, I want to go through some of the results that we had. We asked the kids on a Likert scale to tell us a little bit about how they felt with asthma and what they were interested in. So they could say really interested, somewhat interested, or not interested at all. And this is the percentage of which they're interested. For easier daily tracking of asthma, every single one of the kids said they were really interested. And then for learning more about asthma, about 70%, and then lastly, taking better care of their asthma, almost 80%. The idea here is that all the kids seem genuinely interested in better understanding their asthma and playing a more active role in it. These are positivity responses. Those features I showed you, we asked kids to kind of tell us a little more about them and get an idea of, do they think they were good ideas, okay ideas, or bad ideas. As you can see, there's overwhelmingly positive responses. Most of the kids thought these were great ideas. They really enjoyed it. And there were some important binary results. Every parent said they'd take part of a program that uses a game to help child take better care of his or asthma. So we have the parents on our side. Every child said they would play games like those in Inspire if they involved breathing into an asthma monitor. So the Pico 6 didn't seem to inhibit them. The game seemed to be a good way to incentivize. And lastly, every child said they'd be more likely to use the application if they could also use it on social networking websites. So the idea of bringing in other people who also have asthma. I know a lot of people immediately go to things like Facebook, but social networking websites can go beyond that. It can be a network of people who struggle in the same way. And this could be a really fascinating way for kids to talk to friends and once again, feel inspired to work on this. So, this is all great. People tend to like this. What do we do now? It's tough to know where to go to actually make this more of a reality. So, there are kind of a few things that we do looking into the future. The two major things we're doing right now, we're actually developing collaborations. We're working with a group at Rice University that works on different technology platforms, and there's a possibility that something like Inspire would be added to a set of applications that could be used in the developing world, including in India and Africa, for global health perspectives, to get kids and then also clinicians a cheap and interesting way to look at lung health. In addition to that, we have a game design course at Rice, and there's a group of students who will likely be further developing this program throughout the semester and doing it as kind of a senior project. In addition, we continue to develop collaborations with people who are working in the asthma space and are actively looking for groups who are interested in implementing this in some fashion. In addition to that, we plan on submitting a grant very soon to the American Asthma Foundation for their new investigator grants, and that would provide us with approximately $450,000 over 3 years, which could be a substantial step in further developing this and testing the efficacy. And really the takeaway message here is that there are many ways to engage children, but making them a more active partner in the chronic illness that they will face is one of the best. And it can be a fascinating journey for the people developing it, as well as the children who actually use it. So my final takeaway message to you is, of course, to stay inspired. And lastly, I would just like to acknowledge Elaine and Marvie Finger, who made this fellowship possible, Dr. Cliff Jasho, our director, Drs. Harold Farber and Lin Zong, two of the co-PIs that we've worked with, Nithin Rajan, he's sitting right over there, this is him. He has been my personal mentor and an amazing person who's been there with me every step of the way. My co-workers, Lindsay, Amy, and Kara, who's also here, and my co-fellows were Nithyamani and Lewis Levitt. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.